We'll have our reading of Scripture. It is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 7. And I don't know, is Chris Louis here? Okay, I will read it then. I'm going to read from the NIV version. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and the things that you have heard me say, in the presence of the many witnesses, entrust to reliable people, who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. Rather, they try to please their commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this.
Good morning. So I continue a sermon series on looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I apologize, there's a misprint in the worship bulletin. Today's gift that we are looking at is not service, but is actually teaching. What I am passing out now, and thank you to our ushers for doing this, is the different gifts that I've been talking about the past few Sundays and will continue to talk about the next few Sundays. But I thought it'd be nice for you guys to actually have in your hand a short description of the seven gifts. The gifts, if you remember, are prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. So we're going to talk about the specific gift of teaching this morning, and kind of a fun thing to learn about what a soldier, what a farmer, and what an athlete have in common. But first, let us pray. Loving and gracious God, I ask that you guide my words. May these words truly reflect your will. And may you know the reflections we have on our hearts. May they be worthy in your sight, Lord, for you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So we continue to look at the spiritual gifts that God gives each and every one of us. We hope that each and every single person has one gift and they can recognize that gift. Many of the exercises we've been doing this past few Sundays and will continue to do will help you maybe hone in and discern which gift the Holy Spirit has given you. We are reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 5, that concerning the spiritual gifts, the words of Paul says to brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 5, Paul goes on to say, you know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and you were led astray by idols. But no one, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. And no one can ever say, Jesus is Lord, except if they have the Holy Spirit with them. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 5, and verse 4, that there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. We each have a gift of the Holy Spirit, and we are each given one of these gifts so that we can fulfill the mission of the church, to go out and make disciples of the nations, to help build up the church, to help seek God's glory for all people. The author Ken Hemphill says that a spiritual gift is an individual manifestation of grace from the Father. He enables us to serve Him through giving us this spiritual gift. Can you imagine what a wonderful thing to think about, that we all receive a spiritual gift from the Father? Now some people wonder, well, is this gift free? Is this wonderful spiritual gift that we have free? And the answer is yes, it is free. But when you have something that is free, we must not take it for granted. We must value and treasure that gift and use that gift as well. So last week you got that half sheet, and if you didn't get the half sheet with the spiritual growth exercises, I think Phil has extra copies, so maybe raise your hand and I'll pass that out as well, or you can get it from us after worship. But the spiritual growth exercises challenge you to do one of four things. You are asked to either pray daily, you are asked to read the Bible daily, you are asked to serve or help someone, or you are asked to connect with other Christians. So I hope that you guys, or some of you, or most of you, or all of you, did at least one of these items, to pick one and practice it during the week. Maybe we'll take an informal poll. Did anyone pray daily? Raise your hand. I see a couple of hands. Great. Did anyone read the Bible daily? Raise your hand. Some more hands. Okay. And everyone see? Did anyone serve or help someone this week? Oh, okay. Some more hands. Sort of, yeah. And did anyone connect with another Christian this week? Some more hands. Okay. So from my point of view, it did seem like more people did the first two, whether it was pray daily or read the Bible daily. And that is great. That is the first foundation of discovering your spiritual gift. It is so important that we pray, that we connect with God through our prayers, that we thank God for being present in our lives, that we ask God to help us recognize what the gifts that we have are, and that we continue to be in worship with God through our prayers. It is also important that we read the Bible daily, no matter which gift you have, whether it's being a prophet or a teacher or a giver. It is also important that you know the Word of God, that you read the Bible daily, to connect with the Word of God, whether it be the gospel passages, the Psalms, or even the short letter of 1 John. It is so important that we know the Word of God and what it means in our lives as well. They say when you look at these four practices, whether praying daily, reading the Bible daily, helping someone, or connecting with another Christian, we most likely will do the first two more easily, praying or reading the Bible. Then you need to look at the other ones. Which one are you drawn to? Are you drawn to serving or helping someone, or are you drawn to connecting with other Christians? So, when you look at the seven spiritual gifts of prophecy, of ministry or service, of teaching, of exhortation, of giving, of being a leader, or being a compassionate person in mercy, you kind of wonder, well, of these four exercises, which do these gifts fall under? The answer is simple. All of the gifts fall under praying and reading the Bible daily. If you pray, if you read the Bible, then you are able to be a prophet and share the Word of God. If you pray and you read the Bible, you are able to be in ministry and service to others. You are able to give, you are able to show compassionate mercy, you are able to be the exhortation, the cheerleader of the church. The first two are ones that we all should be able to practice when we think about our gifts. And then the next two. Think about the next two. If you've done them this week, or will think about maybe doing them this coming week, serving or helping someone, or connecting with others. The next two are a little bit more specific to which spiritual gifts you fall under. If you are more drawn to serving or helping someone, or did it this past week, then you most likely possess the gift of service, of giving, or of mercy. If you are more drawn to connecting with other Christians, then you most likely have the gift of prophecy, of teaching, of exhortation, or of leadership. So think about those two, helping someone or connecting with other Christians, and this will help you narrow which gift you might have. And if you remember, these past few weeks we've already talked about prophetic, or we've always already talked about being in service. Just a reminder, the gift of prophecy is being able to proclaim the word of God boldly. We all know our faith stories. We all know what Jesus Christ means in our lives. But to be prophetic means you not only know that, but you can help communicate that. You joyfully share that with other people. You want to tell people, whether it's a neighbor that you happen to see in their driveway and you're in your driveway and you share about your faith with them, you are being prophetic. Or if it's going to a community meeting and representing the church and telling how the church wants to help the community and sharing because God loves all the people that you do this work, you are being prophetic. Whether it's standing here in the pulpit and giving a Sunday message or even sharing in Sunday school your faith, that is how you have the gift of prophecy and are being prophetic. And there's also the gift of service that we talked about last week. And the gift of service is seeing the needs in the church or seeing the needs in the community and doing something about it. And it's seeing the needs and doing something about it for just not just the long term or not just the immediate needs, but the long term needs as well. One of the greatest examples of someone who had the gift of service was the Good Samaritan. If you remember the story of the Good Samaritan from Luke chapter 10, Good Samaritan sees someone who is injured badly in the road. This poor person had been walking in the road and had been attacked by robbers. He'd been beaten badly and all his money had been taken. And first a priest passed by this person lying beaten in the road. And the priest, this holy priest, this church leader, does nothing. He does not help the person beaten and lying in the road, most likely dying. And then we hear a Levite passes by this person. A Levite is a high person in society, a well-known and maybe rich person in the society. And he also passes the person beaten in the side of the road and does nothing to help them. And then we hear that a person from Samaria passes by. And sometimes people at those times from Samaria were looked upon as lowly persons, as people you didn't associate with. But this Samaritan saw this person lying in the road and chose to help him. He was using a gift of service that God had given him. And he chose not to help him in the immediate needs. He did pick him up from the side of the road. He did bandage him and care for his wounds and put him on his donkey to help him along his way. He met the immediate needs of service, but he also looked at the long-term needs. Because if you know the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan went on to take this person to a nearby inn to pay the innkeeper to feed this person and provide housing for the night. He was looking at not just immediate, but long-term needs. And that is what someone with a gift of service does, to see the needs of the church or the community or people in need around him or her, and to meet those needs not just immediately, but looking at long-term ways to help the people. That is a wonderful way to use the gift of service. And this morning, we will now turn our focus to the gift of teaching. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit gift of teaching, a gift from God given to you? If you look up the five qualities of a good teacher, and we think about the teachers in our own congregation, let's see, we have Gary is away in San Francisco, Kimmy is here, and Iva is here, and Joanna was a teacher as well. Am I missing any teachers in our congregation? Angela is a teacher, that's right, thank you. And Carrie, oh, we have a lot of teachers. So we think about all the wonderful teachers and the gifts they have, and if I were to ask you as teachers, what are the top five qualities you think teachers should have? Can we think of some? Patience, that comes up a lot. What are their qualities? Organization. Yes, that's true. I've seen a lot of those to-do lists from our teachers. So I've looked up, or I Googled, top qualities of teachers, and there's about five of them that come up very often. The first one definitely is patience. They list it with patience and respect for students. A second one is, and I appreciate, it says to create a community of safety and care for your students. That is one of the top five qualities they say for teachers. They also say that teachers should be warm and accessible, and when I think about our own congregation members, don't laugh, you guys are. Yes, you all are warm and accessible. I would definitely say that. They also say, and this is great, that a great teacher is someone who sets high expectations for their students and encourages and leads the students to meet those high expectations. And the last one that I thought was interesting is a good quality of a teacher that came up, is that a teacher not only helps others to learn, but also loves learning themselves. A teacher always loves learning and continues to learn themselves as well. These are top qualities of a teacher. So when you think about yourself and if you might be called, with given this gift of teaching from the Holy Spirit, do you have some of those qualities? Are you able to respect your students? Are you able to create a community of safety? Are you a warm and accessible person? And I think all of you all in our church are warm and accessible. Do you also set high expectations and want to help people meet those expectations? And do you not only love helping teach to people to learn, but you yourself love learning? If you think, oh yes, I do actually meet some of those qualities, then you might have the gift of teaching in you. But it is so important that we recognize what the gift of teaching means and how we must use that gift as well. One of my favorite lessons that Jesus taught was from also the Gospel of Luke in chapter 21. And Jesus is in the temple and he sees the rich people putting their offerings into the church treasury. And he sees them putting their certain amount, the very rich people putting certain amounts of what they earn in their treasury. And he knows that these people are only giving maybe 5%, maybe 10%. They might be tithing the 10%. But then he sees a poor widow who also goes up to the altar, the church treasury, and she puts in two small copper coins. The chapter of Luke 21, verses 1 to 4 says that this widow puts in two small copper coins. It's mostly what she has for that week, the money that she has earned, but she's giving it all to the church and to God. And then Jesus says, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of you. For all of them have contributed out of their own abundance, but they have not given all. And this widow, out of poverty, has put in all she has. She's put in all she has to live on into the church for God." It closes with Luke chapter 21 with the verse 37 to 38 saying that every day Jesus was teaching in the temple, and at night he would then go out to the Mount of Olives and he would pray. And all the people would then get up early in the morning to go back to the temple to hear him teach. Jesus had the gift of teaching. We know Jesus actually had all seven gifts. He would be what you would call the ultimate superhero of today. And we ourselves will never, ever be able to reach that status because we have Jesus Christ who died for us and we have him as our Lord and Savior. But we must also recognize that we have been given one or maybe two of these wonderful spiritual gifts, and we must fulfill them. So in this morning's passage, the 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 7, we hear these words of Paul reminding people of the spiritual gift of teaching and how it is important then to use that gift as well. In this morning's passage, Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 7, "You then, my child, be strong in the grace in that Jesus Christ, and what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. Share in the suffering like a good soldier in Christ Jesus. No one serving the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. And in the case of the athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules. It is the farmer who does the work who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in all things." We are reminded that we are children of God and we must be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we can then think about our own spiritual gift, whether it's prophecy, whether it's teaching, whether it's leading, service, mercy, or exhortation, and to use that gift. And in this morning's passage, Paul is saying that the many witnesses are entrusted by the faithful people to teach others. Do you feel that you might have the gift of teaching? That know that you are entrusted by others to help teach, whether it's in Bible study, whether it's in Sunday school, whether it's in devotion time, or whether it's your own family members that you teach about the Word of God. If you have that gift, use it. And remember, a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, who on paper probably have nothing in common. Philip is a soldier, but he is not a farmer. I have a friend who is a farmer in Salinas, and she is definitely, she would say, not a soldier or an athlete. And athletes that we know have their own different type of life, and next week we'll have the Summer Olympic Games, so if you've been watching some of the TV stations, you've seen the ads for the athletes and all that they do to prepare. Each life is so different, but this is a wonderful analogy for us to think about our own faith, for we are all soldiers of Christ. And we only serve, our only aim is to please the enlisting officer. That enlisting officer is Jesus Christ, who works for God, and we must aim to please him. And in the case of the athlete, it says that no one is crowned without competing according to the rules. We as athletes must be diligent in our practice of faith. We must walk on that spiritual journey and be true to this practice. If you think of an athlete, how dedicated they are, how many hours they spend in practice of physical strength and of the sport they participate in, they are very dedicated and determined. And we must be, like athletes, dedicated and determined in our faith as well and compete according to the rules. The rules that we receive through the words of God in the Holy Scriptures, that is our set of rules. And then also think about the farmer who does the work and has the first share of the crops. If we are like farmers who do the hard work, of do the work we know to fulfill the bountiful harvest, then we will receive the first crop. We will receive the Lord's grace and mercy. And it says that for the Lord will give you understanding of all these things. That is what we must strive to do. To be like a soldier who pleases, our aim is to please God. To be like an athlete who is determined and always working hard, and to know the rules according to the words of the Holy Scripture. And to also be like the farmer who works hard for the harvest, to go out and make disciples, to know what spiritual gift we have and use that gift for the fulfillment of the mission. And then we have all these things so that we may receive the grace of Christ Jesus and continue to be faithful disciples. So we will continue to think about what gifts we have. I encourage you that this next week to do a different thing on that handout I gave you last week. If you've prayed daily this week, then maybe think about helping someone. If you helped someone this week, then maybe think about reading the Bible daily. And if you read the Bible this week, then maybe think about being in community with fellow Christians. Do something different on that sheet and learn more ways that we can discover what spiritual gifts you have. We continue to think about the words of Paul to remind us to serve our Lord, to remember the gifts that we've given accordingly to ourselves, and to remember that Jesus Christ always walks with us, that God gave each and every one a gift through the Holy Spirit so that we can fulfill his mission in this world. Whether it's prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, or mercy, each and every one of you have that special gift. If you've been following that funny craze, the Pokemon game, even when we were at Dodger Stadium, I had Ray on one side of me with the game, and I think Courtney had it, she was next to Ray, and then on the other side, I think Vince had it. But I was looking at their screens, and I thank other church members who've been sending me screenshots of the screens, and including Jenny, who sent me one of the church, so I'll put that up next week. It's fun to see whatever location you're in, there's a different Pokemon character floating in that location. Right? So if you know the game. And I don't condone this practice, but I guess one of the goals is to use whatever weapon you have to throw it at that character, to capture that character. And the more characters you capture, the higher levels you get and the more points you get. But think about, in a way, your own life and your own faith. And imagine maybe that Pokemon character in front of you, that goal or that aim that you want to receive. And how do you capture that person? I know this might be kind of weird, and please don't say to your unchurched friends, well, my pastor is comparing you to a Pokemon character. But we as players in this game, this Christian faith, this game of life, people are out there that are lost. People are out there that do not yet know Jesus Christ, that do not truly believe in God. They recognize there is God, they know there is a creator, but they don't truly fully understand what it means to have God's love and mercy. So in a way, I kind of imagine them being those different Pokemon characters out there floating in the world. And we don't have that special app on our phones, so our phones don't buzz or ring when the Pokemon character is nearby. But I know we all know someone, whether a coworker, whether a friend, a classmate, a family member even, or a loved one, who does not yet know the love of Christ. Think about them as that goal, that aim that you need to capture. And you don't throw a Pokeball or whatever those gifts are that you rack up on the app. But you do have the gift given to you by God. Whether it's prophecy to be able to share about the scripture with that person. Whether it's service, helping that person with something they need around the home or in their life. Whether it's teaching, being able to teach them how to say a prayer even, something simple like that. Or teaching them a Christian song. What is the first thing we learn usually in elementary or Sunday school? Like, Jesus loves me. Teaching them that song, whether it's exhortation, being an encourager for them to show sympathy and to be able to sympathize with them, or giving of your time or service to that friend in need who does not yet know Christ, or leadership, being able to motivate them, to being able to unite them, and being able to lead them as they are needed. And then mercy, showing acts of compassion for that person who needs Christ in their life, showing how Christ was through his acts of mercy and compassion. That we are each given this gift in a way to be able to capture that person, to capture a person who was lost, to let them know about the love of Christ. So when you think about what gift you have, whether it's prophecy, service, or we talked a little bit today about teaching, being able to teach a person about how Christ loves them, whether in Sunday school, whether in Bible study, or even a casual conversation with a friend, neighbor, or loved one. All are encouraged to think about these spiritual gifts, which one you might have, and how you can use them to fulfill God's call in your life and mission in this world. Let us pray. Loving and amazing God, we are so thankful that you do not leave us empty-handed, that you give us gifts and talents and many things that we can use to spread your love and grace. As we share the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross but rose for us, whose blood was shed for us, whose body was broken for us, we thank you, Lord, for each and every one of the spiritual gifts you give us, whether it's prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, or mercy. We ask whichever gift we have, shine through in us, Lord. We learn more about this gift, that we learn how to use this gift, and we learn how to use it in service to you, Lord. Continue to be with all the church members as they think about their gifts, as they think about a spiritual discipline this next week, whether it's prayer, whether it's reading the Bible, whether it's being in service to someone, or just connecting and being in community. We continue to serve you faithfully, Lord, in many, many ways. We continue to thank you for the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives, now and forever. Amen.